Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to today's episode of Gaining Perspective. I'm your host, Andrea Ruckelman, and we are on Life Coach Radio Network of Blog Talk Radio. Today's episode on Gaining Perspective is Begin by Leading from Within. And today I am honored to have my guest, Cheryl Ellis, she is a trusted business advisor, high-performance coach, and a founding member of the John Maxwell's team of certified coaches, trainers, and speakers. She has over 30 years of rich and varied leadership experience. She is the creator of Learning to Lead from Within, an online leadership development program, and Leading with Impact and Intention, a leadership retreat for women of influence. She is a former senior business executive turned entrepreneur. She is also a trainer and a coach to entrepreneurs, executives, and young professionals from a wide variety of industries. She's helped business leaders achieve higher levels of performance so that they can get bigger and better results, have a bigger impact as leaders, and make a bigger difference in the world. She educates and coaches her clients to experience a higher degree of clarity, a greater level of energy, more courage, increased productivity, and unlimited influence, and she also inspires them to make their full contribution to the world. A little bit about her is her energy and passion for sharing lessons from her own experience from the respected thought leaders who are her mentors, who provide her clients with extraordinary value. So welcome, Cheryl. Thank you for being here with us today.
Well, thank you, Andrea. The pleasure is all mine, and it's just an honor to share this time with you and your listeners.
Thank you. I think we had some great time talking about our program and what's going to come ahead, and to share some of that with our listeners. The truth is leadership in all aspects of your life really do start from the inside and move outwards. It's your choice how you are going to behave, how you're going to think, what words you choose, and the actions that you take that's either going to inspire others in a positive way or in a negative way. So as you listen to our conversation today and as this interview continues with Cheryl, I want you to think about yourself and how you are as a leader, or how others see you as a leader, to step outside of that box that you're in and think about how do you want to be seen and perceived by those around you, and what is it inside yourself that you want to think about changing. So as we go through today, I want to invite everybody to give us a call at 646-716-9397 if you would like to talk to Cheryl about anything we discuss, which might include some of her programs, her thoughts, maybe a situation you're currently in or thinking about something you need to change in your life. If you'd rather stay anonymous, we have multiple ways of doing things. You can reach us in our chat room if you're a member of Blog Talk Radio, or you can tweet us. Follow us at Coach Host Radio on Twitter and use hashtag Gaining Perspective, and we'll try to share your tweets online. So let's dive right in and give a focus on changing our leadership. So, Cheryl, one of the first things that when I met you, you were talking about your self-discovery and the experience that you had gone through moving your way up in your career. So can you please share a little bit about your experience, what it was like coming up in the ranks of leadership and what you had observed along the way?
Oh, sure thing. I like to say that when I started in business, growing up in business, it was a time when women didn't have mentors. They didn't have sponsors, which are, you know, much more common today. And so one of the things that I realized that if I wanted to be a leader, if I wanted to rise in the ranks of the organization where I worked, I really needed to learn by observing what was going on, like how people were interacting with each other, what was working, what was not working. And quite honestly, there were a lot more examples of what not to do than there were any types of best practices that I observed. So I learned a lot by just paying attention, you know, being that fly on the wall. And I always say one of the advantages of being female in a male-dominated industry, or any business for that matter, is you are often underestimated, and while that hurts, it's also an advantage in that you get to observe quietly. You know, people just forget that you're there, and so you get to really pay attention to the dynamics in the room and, you know, how people are interacting. So that really was what I did. I spent a lot of time watching.
Well, and the great thing about when you sit there and you say you observe, you said that you learn more of what not to do. Can you share maybe an experience of what you saw as something? Because I often have found of a lot of my inspiration for who I want to be comes from watching others and not doing what they do or how they act. So can you share some of that and a little bit more of an example of what you saw, the way people behave?
Yeah, sure. I think one of the things that I saw repeatedly was people that were what I call yes people. They would agree with the person sitting at the head of the table because they didn't want to appear to be stupid. They didn't want to appear to have, you know, a contrary thought. They didn't want to be in a situation where they weren't agreeing with the boss. And a lot of times, you know, bosses would surround themselves with people that would agree with them and not challenge them. And so if you were a person who was willing to challenge, who had the courage to challenge, it was unusual for sure. And that was the role that I played often because I figured, well, I didn't really have anything to lose, so why not challenge the status quo? So that was one thing I saw. And then another thing that I saw repeatedly is that very often, you know, people in leadership roles or management roles will focus on what's wrong with people. They'll focus on what's wrong with the situation. They'll focus on your weaknesses, the things that you need to fix, the things that you need to change, the things that they don't like about you. And so very often, even when you're having a performance evaluation, it's all about what's wrong, instead of focusing anything at all on what your strengths are, what your talents are, what your gifts are, what your contributions to the organization are. And I found that when I was able to do that with people, provide some encouragement, say, hey, you're really good at this. Can we expand that? Can we do more of it? Can you teach other people to do that? That it opened up a whole world of possibility. So those are two areas where I saw and, you know, behaved in a contrary way, and I found that it worked really well. So I continued to do those things and, you know, got really great results from it.
Yeah, I think that it's great how you talk about how you had nothing to lose, and so you would challenge them to see, you know, what would happen. And, you know, for you, you had a lot of success through that. But you also were touching on the topic of focusing on, too many people focus on what's wrong, what you need to do, how you need to be better, and instead of focusing on the positive aspects. Now, as we discussed during your time of moving through the leadership of the days of when women weren't in so many leadership roles, how can you describe that struggle in the male-dominated industry to combat that stereotype of, let's say, the stereotypical ways that women would be told that there's no opportunity for you to grow. You're going to worry more about having a family, and you're going to leave here, so we're not going to invest in you. And so you face that right from the start. So with saying you had nothing to lose, how did that play into combating those generalized stereotypes?
Well, and that's a loaded question because as you're asking the question, I can think back to all kinds of incidents that I experienced. Everything from actually looking for a job and having people say, "Well, why should we hire you when you're just going to leave and start having kids right away? And why would we invest in someone like you?" You know, as a young female trying to get my first job. And then everything to the assumptions, for example, that there would be an opportunity, but it was in another state, and because I was the female in the household, that I wouldn't be willing to make that move to another place. So you know, those assumptions, you know, we assume that, you know, this is a person who can't do this because they're female. Or another version of that was things like, well, we really can't put you in front of customers because our customers won't like having to deal with a woman. They're used to dealing with men, and that was in the commercial banking arena where I faced that. And so, you know, there's different ways to overcome those things. There's different ways that I overcame those things. I mean, first of all, I think, you know, and it plays to the whole idea of learning to lead from within. I mean, you have to develop some inner strength, some inner courage that allows you to be Teflon, you know, to ward off those kinds of comments, those kinds of thoughts that other people have about you and about your inability to accomplish something. And you just have to have faith in yourself. You have to have belief in yourself, and that has to be stronger than other people's, you know, disbelief or questioning of your abilities. And it's hard to do that. I mean, you really have to, you know, fight sometimes for your own inner peace and inner confidence. But it's worth it because, you know, today, I mean, I just believe that there isn't anything that I can't do. But it took me a long time to really believe that. I would pretend that in the beginning, but then, you know, the more I pretended it and the more I found that I could accomplish and could move through the ranks and could lead and could have great results, the more I believe that I could do it again.
I think that is one of the greatest things that people really need to think about is the way you say that you have to fight through this, fight for your own inner peace, find your inner strength, have faith in yourself. What the world can do to somebody based on just assumptions alone can prevent individuals from really seeing all their own opportunities. You know, how many times have you heard someone say, oh, I just wish I could be that in that position, but that'll never happen to me. And you hear, well, why not?
It is one of the things. It's one of my, you know, one of the things that has come to be a pet peeve of mine with leaders in general or managers in general is this idea of focusing on what's broken, what's not there, what is the weakness. And, you know, it's just wrong. It's just wrong. It's we can do so much more, and we can help people so much more to achieve what they're capable of achieving when we help them to focus on their strengths, when we help them to even discover their strengths, understand their strengths, and then focus on those and develop those so that they can be all that they can be. And I think part of the reason why people don't believe that they can accomplish what their dreams might be is because they've been beaten down over time. I mean, look at little kids. I mean, when kids are young and we ask them what they want to be when they grow up, they have big dreams, you know, big ideas. I'm going to be an astronaut, or I want to be president of the United States. And you know, over the years, we get beaten down from those inner beliefs that we can do things like that. And so I think leaders have a real responsibility and opportunity to bring that back out in people, you know, really encourage what's best and what's right and, you know, what can really make a contribution to the rest of the team or even the rest of the world.
And you've touched upon something that I hold very dear to my heart is when we talk about with children these days, and there's been so much of a focus on children and how you can squash their dreams and what we do to them. But I always see, it's like, well, where did it start? It starts at home. It starts in the workplace and what you bring home. And so it's carrying on that kind of attitude and assumptions. And it's the wrong way of paying things forward. It's like pulling you back. And it also brings me to another thought as you were going through all of this and really saying that, you know, having that tough skin and having to get through and knowing what you wanted to be and saying that nothing was going to stop you. When you made that decision of the leader that you wanted to become, how often did you have to battle that feeling that is the, I need to prove that I'm right to others and go at it in a way that was open and engaging and in a way of more influential instead of out of a fight?
Yeah, it's a really good question. And honestly, it goes back to my childhood. I remember the first time someone told me I couldn't do something and how it crushed me. And it was actually in eighth grade, so it goes back that long. And it was, we were getting ready to go into high school. And we had a guidance counselor come into our school and explain, you know, what program we were going to follow in high school. And he was talking to each kid and saying, you know, here's, you know, you can go into the college prep program or you can go into the technical program or the business program. And I remember he said to me, you're not college material. Now, I don't know how they know that in an eighth grader, but he said, you're not college material, so we're going to put you in this other program here. And I remember going home that day, really running home that day, all the way home, and just crying to my father about, Daddy, I want to go to college. And it was the first time that, you know, I remember somebody saying to me, you can't do this. You know, you're not good enough. And it crushed me. And, of course, my father, being my father, was, you know, yes, you can do it, you're smart, you're talented, you can do whatever you want. And he picked me back up. And I can tell you that I've had many moments like that over the years where someone told me I couldn't do something, and I might have shown a brave face in the moment, and then behind the scenes I would break down and I would cry and I would get very emotional about it, but then I would come back, you know, with a resilience and say, yes, I can. And that became part of my inner strength. When someone tells me I can't do something, you know, my immediate reaction now is, oh, just watch me. So it really becomes the fuel. And so I thank those people who underestimated me in my life, because it's really been kind of a fuel injection for me to overcome that disbelief in others and to just bring it into my own belief that I can do this.
Wow, the resilience is something that is very strong. And you seem to have balanced, even from such a young age, the ability to take that emotion and instead of beat yourself up about it, like most of us do in life when something is told that we can't do, we sit and we cry. And instead of focusing on what you can't do or what's not allowed, you really did have that resilience, and you know, you've grown from it. And the thing that I've loved in the times that we've talked is that you share your experience in such a way that is so influential, so positive, so motivating. And it's not a lesson of hard knocks. You don't talk about it in that sense. The way you talk about these things are just, yeah, it's a lesson I learned. And you know what I did? I moved forward with it. And I took the bad and I made it into something good. And too often you see people that what they do is when they see that the toughest gets tough and they give up and that's the easiest thing to do, and they throw their arms up in the air and they say, well, it's not my fault. I just can't because nobody will let me. And the experience that you're sharing of moving forward with that is one that is so nurturing in a way to help people grow. And I don't care if you're a man or a woman in the workplace. You're a person in the workplace, and you have that ability to show that to others. And share with me, in your experience in the workplace, because I know that this has happened to me too often than not, I've had a boss who has said to me, just thrown something at me and says, this is horrible, this is crap, just go redo it. And you're just like, you get stuck in that mode of, I'm terrible, I'm bad, I don't know how to get better. Mm-hmm. How do you see the effectiveness of someone who is a leader who can show the positive way of, okay, let's take another stab at this, not you screwed up, you're horrible?
Yeah, you know, it's, by the way, thank you for saying that. I think I will say that that's a learned behavior, that idea of taking the hard knocks and turning them around. It's a learned behavior because, you know, there's always the tears first. There's always the emotion. There's always the second guessing of yourself, and it's just what you do next that counts. And to me, what I do next is say, okay, what am I going to do about this now? And, you know, one of the things I've just learned over time is this idea of taking 100% responsibility for what happens to me and where I am in my life and where I'm going in my life. And it's not anyone else's fault. It's not anyone else's doing. It's not the environment. It's not the economy. It's not my family. It's not my boss. It's me. What am I going to do? How am I going to handle it? And that is one of the most important lessons, you know, I've ever learned. So, you know, I think one of the things that happens to people is that they start to believe those stories they hear over and over again. And then they start to tell themselves those stories of, I'm not good enough, I'm not smart enough, I'm not pretty enough, I'm not young enough or old enough, I'm not enough. And, you know, a lot of what a lot of what I try to do in my work today, Andrea, is to really help people overcome those negative, what I call automatic negative thoughts. I think actually it was Dr. Daniel Amen who coined that phrase. But we automatically, you know, we think so many thoughts every day, and so many of them are automatically negative, that you have to be conscious about turning those around into something positive to think about. So, yeah, it's not easy to do that, but it's worth the effort.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. And sometimes it's really hard, but if you can take the time to really face what that emotion is going on and take responsibility for it, because I love how you said take 100% responsibility of what happens to you, and you don't make the excuse of what happens to others, and how now you apply that into your business and why you've gone out on your own to help others do the same thing, because it is so effective. And, you know, let's get into some of this stuff. Since you started your own successful business and you primarily help other women, what do you see as maybe the most common trends in today's society, and how much of what they face going into leadership roles? And have you seen much change from when you were trying to get into those same roles?
Well, you know, unfortunately, I have to say that in some ways, not a lot has changed. In other ways, things have changed, and I do think they will continue to evolve. But when you look at the statistics, they're a little bit discouraging in terms of how many women have made it into top leadership roles, whether you're looking at government or you're looking at business or even looking at, you know, the nonprofit world. The number of women leaders in those roles is a small percentage of the total, and I personally won't be happy until that's 50% of the total, because I think that a world without both the male and female leadership energy, which is different, you know, in each case, without the balance of that is just a world that's not maximized. I think when you can bring the best of what women bring and the best of what men bring together into the workplace, into leadership, you have a better world, you have a better solution, you have better direction, you have better results. So I won't be happy until we get there. And I think that we're getting there slowly but surely, way too slowly for me. I'm an impatient person by nature, but I do think that the progress has kind of stalled. And I was listening to a speaker, I think I might have mentioned this to you, I was listening to one of the speakers at the Women in Business Chamber of Commerce event last year, and she's the president of HBO Entertainment, and she was talking about working as a leader in a male-dominated industry, and the entertainment industry is one. And you know, I was listening to her, and I realized, wow, not a lot has changed in the past 20 years since I was fighting those fights. And so it gave me a little bit more incentive to focus more on women again, and to try to make this, you know, help affect this change, because I really think it's an important change to focus on, not just for women and not just for men, but just for the economy. I mean, there's some statistics now about what we're missing in our GNP by not really totally tapping into the potential that women bring into the economy. So I'd really like to see that change, and I think that we're poised for that change to happen, but we have to be so much more conscious and deliberate about it.
Hmm. You know, the funny thing is when you talk about, and it's not funny, haha, it's when we talk about the need to be conscious about the things that we do. How often do you think people really are conscious about the decisions they make, the choices, the words they use, the way that they behave, the actions that they have? I mean, when you see it, people, I think, are just in a mode from now on. I don't really see people sit there and you see the look on their face of, I really want to make sure I send this message the right way.
Mm. Well, actually, I mean, part of the reason why I developed the program I did about leadership thinking is just for that reason. I don't think that we spend the time to think. And I don't think that we're really conscious about, you know, what we want the outcome to be a lot of times when we have an interaction. You know, we're not stopping to say, you know, what is it that I want to come out of this conversation, or what is it that I want to come out of this meeting or this interaction? You know, what's the outcome I'm looking for? And we really spend time just thinking through. If we spent just a little bit more time each day thinking through what we wanted, our lives would be so much better. But I think what happens is we all get caught up in the busyness of the moment, and we end up in reaction mode. We're not proactive. We're not thinking about what it is that we want to accomplish. We're just reacting to what's in front of us. We're reacting to the crisis of the moment. We're reacting to the phone call that just came in. We're reacting to the email we just got. We're reacting to what somebody is expecting from us at any given moment, and that could be coming from, you know, 20 different directions, instead of taking that control, taking that responsibility to say, no, this is what's on my agenda, and here's how I'm going to operate, and here's how I'm going to work through my day. And, you know, this has been a gradual change for me. I have to be really, really upfront about that. I mean, this is something I'm working on all the time. It's not something I've become an expert at. It's not something that's easy for me. It's something that I'm working on all the time, because I tend to operate in that reaction mode too, and I'm trying to be more deliberate. I'm trying to be more proactive about, you know, how I'm spending my time, who I'm spending my time with, what I'm doing with my time, what I'm thinking about, you know, throughout the day. And so when I have those automatic negative thoughts, you know, being conscious about that and turning it around to something positive. And it takes practice, you know, but the more you do it, the better you get at it, like anything.
Yeah, and I want to thank you for that honesty, because you talk about one of my most favorite topics, you know, is the way we are reactive to situations, that we don't take the time to really absorb everything and respond to it. And that's one that is near and dear to my heart, because it is something that we all have to learn. And me too. I'll stand right next to you as the guilty party of someone who would react to every situation. And in a sense, when I learned to start taking a step back, instead of going with that initial reaction to something and really trying to understand, okay, what's going on here? What's at the heart of the person sitting across from me, or the situation that has occurred, and how is the best outcome going to come from this with my resources, as in the people that I'm surrounded by? How am I going to approach them and the situation, and how are we going to work together as a team to get this done, instead of being the individual who just blames everybody else for something that has happened and now feeling like I have to fix it? But in the end, when it's like, okay, so where do you think this went wrong, and how do you think together as a group we can work on this and make it better? And so I love the honesty that you have there to share with people, because people really do need to take a look at themselves. I think it was probably the hardest thing for myself to take the look, to look in that mirror and see the way I behave towards people. And the time that I had, I was completely at a loss for words to think that I actually would treat people the way that I had, because it was just something I was ingrained with from prior jobs, that this is the way you behave in the workplace. Mm. And it was then when I decided it's time to stop. You know, I could stop this snowball effect of the way others can be successful behind me. And so, you know, it's just one of those things that I feel is that we, people such as yourself and the way you talk about, you know, essentials in leadership thinking and the other programs that you have, are so beneficial for people to just stop and just take a look at themselves. So,
you know, Andrea, you're bringing up one of my favorite topics, which is the topic of choice. You know, a lot of times we feel like the world happens to us. You know, this stuff happens to us. Life happens to us. And we forget that as human beings, one of the great things about being human is that we have choice. We can decide. We can choose. We can choose our behavior. We can choose our words. We can choose our actions. We can choose our thoughts. And all those things make a difference in not only the person that we project to the rest of the world, but in how we feel about ourselves, how other people feel about us, and ultimately how we're able to influence the behavior of other people, because they kind of look and say, wow, you know, something good is going on over there. what are you drinking? What are you smoking? What do you, you know, what is it that you have going on there? And I want some of that. And really, it's, we forget sometimes that it really is a choice. We get to decide. I think that's so cool that we get to decide. And it's one of my favorite things to talk about.
And I could talk to you forever on choice and, you know, the differences and things that we get to do. But I just want to take a break real quick and just remind our listeners that they could call in at 646-716-9397 if they have any thoughts or questions about our topic today, any kind of experience that you're going through, or send us a message in our chat room. And real quick, just to let our listeners also know what's coming up this week on Life Coach Radio Network, on October 13th at 9 p.m., that every show will be Eastern Standard Time that I mentioned, it's Mark My Words with Life and Business Coach Mark Shaw for part two of the National Coming Out Day series for October. Well, he'll be interviewing Tony Ferriello Olo, and I apologize if I said your name wrong, Tony. He is the self-made man. It should be in for a very interesting conversation. And on Monday, October 14th at 8 p.m., it's Spiritual Practice of Gratitude on Spiritually Speaking with Reverend Jennifer Kotler. She'll be interviewing Bruce Epperly on his recent book on the spirituality of grandparenting. Yes, I always hear how grandparents get to have all the fun because it's not like being a parent at all. They just get to spoil and play with the kids and hand them back. And last on Tuesday, October 15th at 8 p.m., Danielle Mercurio of New City U Coaching is talking about the myth of the ladder to success. So that would be a nice follow-up call to this conversation that we're having today that you could also listen to. The next episode of Gaining Perspective is going to air on October 24th. My guest is going to be Rich Dowling of the Thought Exchange, and he for the Center of Personal Achievement. We're going to cover a really tough topic because, as I always say, life in general, how it happens in your personal life affects how things are in the workplace. So our topic is going to be addiction, disputing the myths and presenting the facts. So that should be very interesting to see how that plays in your life, in your roles, and what you decide to choose to. So getting back, so here's some great things. You know, we were talking about the choice and things that people get. And so sometimes people feel stuck, that they have no choice. And you talk about in your essential leadership thinking, this program that you created, how to get unstuck. So why do you think, and even though we talked about it a little bit, let's get into a little bit more detail of why do we get ourselves stuck in the first place, and how difficult is it to change that pattern of behavior?
Well, it's a great question, and I think the biggest contributor to getting stuck is fear. And fear takes a lot of different it takes a lot of different forms, and we're afraid of a lot of different things, but I think ultimately it comes down to fear. There's a great book called Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway, and lots of really good stories in there about people overcoming various fears, and I could tell you my own example of overcoming a lifelong fear of heights to do the zip line in Costa Rica, which was a really big deal for me because I had to get up in the top of those trees, and, you know, it sure, for most people, it just looks like great fun. For me, it was terrifying. But I was determined to do it, and I wanted to overcome that fear of heights, and I did it, and I felt really good about myself afterwards. So there's an example of being stuck in this place that said, you know, you can't be high. You can't be high up because it's scary, and just making the decision that I could overcome it. And when I was talking to the guide who was taking us on this trip, I said to him, oh, by the way, I'm terrified of heights. He goes, oh, yeah. And I said, well, do you have any advice? He goes, yeah, don't look down. And okay. So it was like, duh, right? And it was a small thing that was a big thing. So I didn't look down, and it did help. And, you know, sometimes it's just a little thing that could get us past that fear. So sometimes we're stuck because we're afraid. You know, we're afraid of failing. We're afraid of succeeding. We're afraid of the unknown. We're afraid of just being out of our comfort zone of any description. You know, this is what I know, that's what I don't know, and I can't go there. And I think that, you know, the other things that contribute are just that self-doubt, that idea that, you know, I'm not good enough, I can't do it, you know, I'm going to stay here in a place that I know and feel comfortable in. Even if I'm miserable, it's a misery that I know and I feel comfortable with, so I'm not going anywhere. And so we end up with all those little voices in our head telling us, you know, we can't. And really, again, it's about choice. To me, the way to get out of it is to take some action. Sometimes it's just a baby step, but sometimes it's just saying to yourself, you know, I can do this. Sometimes it's just generating the courage. You know, people who have courage, they weren't born with courage. They generate courage. They bring courage to the moment when they need it. You know, they're not, it's not that they're not afraid, it's just that they're willing to overcome their fear by taking an action. And so we can all generate that kind of courage, just like we can all choose. So sometimes getting unstuck is as simple as making a decision not to be stuck. It's kind of like, you know, being happy is, you know, moving from being unhappy to being happy is a decision. You know, I just don't want to be unhappy anymore. Now I want to be happy. And it sounds simple, but in some ways it really is that simple. It's a decision. Because we're in charge of our thoughts in our head, and we can make those decisions. We can change our thoughts.
Yeah, it's the great thing about this is that you say that it's simple, and it truly is. And the thing is that people make it into something bigger because of that fear. Yeah, it's always the big scary monster in the closet turns out to be like a little dinosaur figurine in a shadow of the moon type of thing, and it's not as big as a deal until you actually confront what the issue is. And I think sometimes some of that fear happens to deal with being overwhelmed. There's so much to choose from, and where do I start? And I can't start from anywhere because I don't know, because there's just so much. And how do you work with people that feel they have to take on the world all at once and they become stagnant and they have paralysis and don't move forward? How do you help people like that?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think today a lot of us feel overwhelmed. And I have those moments and those days where I feel really overwhelmed too. And sometimes it's hard because you have a lot of things coming at you from a lot of different directions and you don't know what to do first. And I know my reaction when I get into that mode is to do nothing. I get frozen. I know that happens to a lot of people. I get frozen and I have to force myself to take an action, even if it's a baby step, just to move past the overwhelmedness. And I do work with, you're right, I do work with a lot of people on this because it's very common. It's very common. And I can't tell you the number of times that I sit down with someone and, you know, ask them, you know, how are things going, and their answer is that they feel overwhelmed. And sometimes it's just a question of, you know, walking through the, what is it that's making you feel overwhelmed? So if you're not able to talk with someone about this, one of the things you could do is write it down, which is one of the other things I recommend is, you know, write it down. Like, what's actually making you feel overwhelmed? Put, you know, voice it. Articulate it. Put something tangible to it. Like, you know, write it down exactly what it is, or say it out loud exactly what it is that's making you feel overwhelmed. And then take a step back and try to put some boundaries around it. You know, is this a temporary situation? Is it a permanent situation? Usually it's a temporary situation, and you have an idea what's gotten you into that place. And so you can start to come up with a plan to get yourself out of that place. And it may be as simple as saying, okay, here's all the things I have to do. How long are each of these things going to take? What's the most important thing for me to do first? What's the best use of my time right now? Given all this, and sometimes we have some long-term to-dos, and sometimes we have some short-term to-dos, and sometimes we're at the mercy of someone else's demands on us. So we have to take all of that into consideration. But yeah, it's a very common situation. In fact, I was just talking with one of my clients this week about being overwhelmed. And we went through that type of an exercise where I said, okay, what is it that's causing you to feel that way? So she outlined for me all the things that, you know, she was working on. And even as she was saying them out loud to me, she was saying, yeah, well, I don't really need to do that right now, and I can really put that off till next week, and I can really get someone else to do that. So you just start to realize that we do it, you know, we do it to ourselves in some ways. And I'm not diminishing, you know, people who really have just a lot going on in their lives, because I get that. You know, we have, you know, kids and parents and the demands of work and, you know, the demands of whatever else life is, you know, bringing us at any given time. And it's a lot. But I think, you know, just any kind of perspective you can bring to it for yourself, whether it's, is there something I can put off? Is there some support I can get? Is there a resource that I could tap into? You know, will just help you get past that initial piece. And then once you start taking action, you know, you gain some momentum and you can get past it really quick. I know the time when I always feel overwhelmed the most is I'm getting ready to go on vacation and I really want to have a clean desk before I leave. And so I'm in absolute high productivity mode, trying to get anything and everything done. And then, you know, something lands on me that I wasn't expecting, and it just throws me into a it throws me into a tizzy. And I don't always react well to that. But, you know, you just take a step back, take a deep breath, you know, take a walk around the block, whatever it takes to kind of clear your head and hit the reset button and get back at it.
I think that's great, the reset button. I often use that a lot lately. I've been saying, you know, sometimes you just need to take a step back and hit the reset button and just realign yourself to where you need to be instead of feeling like you're bombarded by everything, and give yourself a moment to give clarity to what it is that you want to do. And, you know, just to kind of take some of this topic and really bring it down to like a different path. You know, when you see that you have leadership that is overwhelmed and they need some help and they need that clarity of everything, and when they become the most impactful with the work that they do, even when under this stress, do you think showing the behavior of feeling stressed or sharing that with those that are a part of your team of the stressful environment that you're under is something that is beneficial, or do you think that people in leadership positions have to hide that and hold it to themselves and really just, you know, be stoic in the workplace?
Wow, what a great question, Andrea, because, you know, my answer to that question has changed dramatically over the years. You know, I grew up in the, you know, world of, you know, buttoned-up business, corporate, large corporate, where, you know, the code word was, you know, code theme was never let them see you sweat. And, mm-hmm. you know, just, you know, acting your way through whatever you are fearful about or overwhelmed with or uncertain about, and, you know, just putting on the, you know, the happy, positive, confident face. And I've really come full circle on that. I am such a believer now that really doesn't work, because people see through it. And it's so much more important to be authentic with yourself, and especially as a leader. Hey, I'm the first to admit that I'm a work in progress. I have my good days and I have my bad days, and I try to have more good days than bad days, and I try to bring more of the good Cheryl into the world than, you know, the dark side. But there's always, you know, we all have a dark side, and we all have our bad days, and we all have our moments, and we all have our blind spots or weaknesses or whatever you want to call them. But I think when we pretend that we don't, I just think that we're doing a disservice to everyone else around us, because they start to feel like, oh, the need here is to be perfect. The need is to never let anybody see a sweat. And I think it's another one of those things that's maybe wrong with corporate America today. You know, I think if people were just a little bit more authentic and a little bit more real and a little bit more human and honest, and, you know, not trying to pretend that they're not scared or not, you know, or lacking some confidence sometimes. Or I just think people rise to the occasion. You know, when you say, look, I don't know how to do this either, but I really understand what it is the outcome is that we're looking for, and I have the confidence that we'll get there, even if I personally don't know how to do it, I know that, you know, I have resources, I have support, I can learn stuff, I can tap into my my network, I can find a way. And so there's that level of confidence. It doesn't mean you know how to do something, but it just means you know you can figure it out. And I think there's a difference there. But to say that, I'm on this. I got it. I'm here. I know how to do this. I'm okay. I don't need any help. I think is a real disservice. And I used to be that person. I will say that openly and honestly. You know, just having that mantra of not letting people see me sweat and you know faking my way through it. And I got through a lot of stuff that way, don't get me wrong. But I think, and there may be a time and a place for that depending on the situation because, you know, when you're leading people, you have to instill confidence, you have to inspire action, and you have to figure out the best way to do that based on, you know, the situation and where people are. But I do think that a little more authenticity, a lot more honesty, a lot more humanity, and a lot more authenticity really contribute to more effective leadership today.
I thank you for that because even in my career time, I had that all the time. Never let them see you sweat. It was told to me several times by someone who was a great mentor to me. But in the sense, the way he said that was, if you're going into the higher ups, you never let them see you sweat because you want to make sure that they think you know everything. And it was kind of interesting because I would actually see some of those leaders be the ones to say, look, I don't know everything. I only know what I know. And they would be the ones to say that. Meanwhile, I'm being told something else. So I had that great learning experience for having both of that at the same exact time. And so that was kind of like an influence, as I was saying, that I got to see plenty of people that told me things to do that I said I would never do going forward. And those who were very open and honest and was just like, I don't really care what you think. I don't know this, so share it with me. And with that, you know, because I always looked at that as something being very impactful, but in your opinion, what do you think is the most impactful characteristic a leader has in today's workplace?
Wow, just one, huh? Just picking one?
Okay, you can take a couple.
I would say, well, there's so many. I mean, I have such a long list when I really think about this, but I think that one of the most important things is authenticity, and I think that for a couple reasons. One is, you know, we live in a much more transparent world than the one where I grew up. And, you know, we have today, you know, social media. We have, everything, there's no secrets. You know, there's no privacy, there's no secrets. And I'm not saying that's the reason to be authentic, but I think that, you know, if you're trying to be something that you're not, you're going to be found out. And so the second part of that is, you know, you might as well be yourself because everyone else is taken. I don't know if you've heard that quote before, but it's one of my favorites. And, you know, it's really true. I mean, you know, we're all a work in progress. And, you know, every day just trying to be the best version of yourself you can be is a lot of work. I mean, it's a challenge. It's not an easy thing to do. So I think that, you know, just trying to be you and not trying to be someone else, not trying to be your parents, not trying to be your boss, not trying to be the people that, you know, someone else told you is the right way to be. I mean, one of my favorite stories about this is when I was told, I talked earlier about, you know, leaders who tell you that here's what's broken that you need to fix and here's what you need to work on, and they're all focused on all the stuff that's wrong. And I remember being told this one time, and it's really one of my favorite stories now, and it was said to me, Cheryl, your biggest problem is that you only see the best in people. You only see, you know, the best in situations and the best in people, and you need to fix that. Because unless you can learn to be a lot more critical about people and their weaknesses and the things they're doing wrong and, you know, and fixing all that, you know, stuff that's wrong, you're never going to be successful here. And I thought, wow, I really need to work on that. So I started trying to, you know, find out what was wrong with people, and it was just so hard for me. It's just against my nature. I mean, I have to look really hard to see all the downside, because I really look at people and see, like, wow, they're really good at this, and they really have a skill about that, and they're really talented in this area, and wow, isn't that cool that they can do that? And the same with situations. I tend, you know, to make the best out of a bad situation or see the best in it or keep my sense of humor or find the humor in it. And it wasn't until years later that I realized that that's actually a strength, not a weakness. And now I just laugh about it because I think about that conversation and how seriously I took it and, you know, really wanted to fix that thing that was broken in me that wouldn't see everything that was wrong. And today I realize that that, you know, that's something that I love about myself, not want to fix.
No, I thank you for breaking the cycle on that, because it's true, because you're always told what you need to fix, and people always cater to your weaknesses and always try to make you better, but no one ever focuses on your strengths and lets you really be a leader from your strengths, because someone is really good at something no matter who they are. And I think that that is what is really important in today. And it's not about having to be touchy-feely and make everybody happy at what they do and there could be no losers and everyone wins. It's really not about that. It's about recognizing what someone's really good at and utilizing that, because when someone knows that they're going to shine at what they do, the confidence level is above and beyond anything you could expect if you were to talk to them in what they need to fix. So thank you for saying that. And I really want to talk about this, your whole program that you've created, this web-based program, your essential leadership thinking. Yeah, I've been looking a lot of that, and I wanted to really talk to you about how you see the impact of people being able to learn on their own and take it upon themselves.
Wow, yeah, I think you know, that's a really good question, because I think different people learn in different ways. But one of the things that I've discovered is that a lot of times people they can't make the investment in their learning that they really should be making right now. And what I mean by that is, you know, the world is changing really quickly. I mean, you know, it's a little chaotic out there, and there's a lot of ambiguity, and it's hard sometimes to find your own way through that, much less lead other people through it. And unless you are investing in your own growth, in your own learning, you know, you're just falling behind. So you and I have talked about this before, Andrea, but I invest a lot personally in my own development and have ever since I left corporate America, you know, where, you know, I was somewhat supported in my professional development there, but now it's my responsibility. So I've invested heavily in myself over the past 8 years, and I've learned a lot from some of the top thought leaders in the world. I've been fortunate to be able to do that. It's been a privilege to work with some of these people. And now what I'm trying to do is take some of what I've learned both from these leaders as well as from my own experiences and observations and put it into a format that's accessible for people. Because I do meet and have met with people one-to-one in you know, training and coaching scenarios. But I just would like to, reach a lot more people and help them, you know, through some of the leadership challenges that we all face right now because of the way the world is. So I've taken some of what I've learned over the years, and I'm putting it into some programs. And the very first thing I did was this program. It's an audio program called Essential Leadership Thinking, and it's a number of different modules, and they're really all about how leaders think and how they think differently than other people and why it's important to understand that and why it's important to spend time thinking about some things and thinking differently. Because to me, thinking is at the very foundation of anything we want to do successfully. You have to have the right mindset. You have to know how to think about it first before you can move forward. So to me, it's so foundational. And from the work that I've, from my own experience and my own observation and the things that I've learned from other people, I've created my own framework. So we talk about learning to lead from within. That's what I call the framework, because there's a there's a progression that I think you have to go through in order to learn to think from within, in order to ultimately get to that place of influence that you want to be in as a leader. And the very foundation of that is your own psychology, how you think, how you feel, and how you behave. And unless you can figure out how to think about it, the rest of it just doesn't follow. So that's what I started with, is that the whole idea of, you know, foundational thinking as a leader and why it's different than thinking like other people.
In the titles, that, you know, I was looking through your sessions that you have, one really stuck out to me because it was something that you even mentioned, what's your mindset, some of the mindset musts of an influential leader. You know, what you think you become, how thoughts control your destiny. Just, you know, real quick, you know, can you just share just a little bit of a glimpse of just an idea of what a mindset must is so some people can have an understanding of what this program entails?
Well, sure. We've already talked about one of them, and that is the whole concept of taking 100% responsibility for yourself and what happens to you in your life and where your life is and where your life is going. I think that's a must, you know, just getting to that place where you don't have excuses, you're not blaming others, you're not blaming the situation, you're not complaining about everything, you know, there's no whining, you're just saying, you know, what can I do about it? Here, you know, how am I going to take responsibility for this? What can I decide? So that's one. I think another really important mindset is what I call the success mindset. And, you know, people who are true leaders, to me, they think about failure differently. They think about failure as an inevitable part of the journey. They don't think about it as, gee, I failed, so I must stop in my tracks and not move forward. They think about it as, okay, this didn't work, so I've learned that, now what? Or they think about it as just a stepping stone on the way to success. You know, it's just like, okay, I'm one step closer now to having success. So they think about failure differently. So they have what I call a success mindset. And, you know, you can develop a success mindset. In fact, one of my favorite books is about success. It's the one by Jack Canfield called The Success Principles. And not only do I love the book and refer to it often, but I actually went to Jack's program for 8 days to learn experientially about success and how he views success and all the research he's done over the years about having a success mindset. So I think that's a really critical piece. Those are a couple.
Yeah, and I can only imagine what the rest of it is like, and so I'm looking forward to being able to see your program and wish you the much success. I actually have to cut us off. I have so many more questions that I want to ask you, but our time is up already. And so I'd just like to, Cheryl, please, you know, if you have any last thoughts that you would like our listeners to know, please share with them. And also, I want people to be able to look for your program, so also let them know how they could reach you, maybe where you are on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, your website, all the above. That would be great.
Sure. And Andrea, thanks so much for the opportunity. I've so enjoyed this chat. I can't believe that an hour is over already. It just kind of flew by. I guess my parting thought would be, you know, leadership, it's not about position. It's really about your ability to connect and your ability to influence. And the most important work that you could do to be a better leader is the inside work. And today is a good day to start if you haven't already started, and recognize that it's a lifelong journey, but it's a great journey, and every day is a new adventure, and you continue to learn about yourself in the process, and it's really worth it to make that investment in yourself. So my website, ellisbusinessenterprises.com, and leadership thinking will take you to a description of the program you and I were just talking about. But I'm on Facebook as Cheryl Bonini Ellis, and I have, you know, besides my website, and I'm on Twitter at hashtag CABONINI. Bonini is my maiden name, so I use that a lot in my program so that people can recognize me that know me that way. And I'm on LinkedIn also. I'm